Let's dive into some music. Before we get working on the actual problems you'll need to solve as part of this problem set, let's take a moment and look at some background about music, notes, and how we might represent them. What we're looking at here is a portion of a piano keyboard, and you'll notice we have 7 different white notes and 5 black notes. And so as you may know, each note is assigned a letter, where we have C on the left side, then D, E, F, G, A, and B, where the white keys on the piano are each assigned to a different letter. A semitone, as we'll refer to it, is just the interval from one note to the very next note, including both the white and the black keys on the keyboard. So between C and D, that's an interval of 2 semitones, because we go from C first to the black note in between C and D, and then to D. D and E are also 2 semitones apart, because there's a black note in between them, but E and F are 1 semitone apart, because right next to E, the note immediately following it is the note F. So semitones are just how we're going to refer to a step of exactly one note on the piano keyboard. But how, then, are we going to represent the black keys on the piano keyboard if the white keys are all assigned to letters? Well, in order to do that, we'll need to use accidentals. Accidentals adjust notes up or down by exactly 1 semitone. So the sharp accidental, represented here by the pound sign, means we're going to move up 1 semitone. So these are how the black keys would be represented in terms of sharps. Up 1 semitone from C is C sharp, and up 1 semitone from D is D sharp, for example. Likewise, we can also represent notes as flats, where a flat just means move down 1 semitone. So here, we're looking at D flat, which is 1 note down from D, and E flat, which is 1 semitone down from E. And notice here that there are multiple different ways to name the same note. That note in between C and D can be represented as either C sharp or D flat, and they both mean the same thing. In fact, it's not just the black keys that can be referred to as sharps and flats. Since F is 1 semitone above E, and likewise E is 1 semitone below F, we can call F E sharp, and we can call E F flat, and those are totally valid ways of representing those notes. But as we know, a piano does not just consist of these keys, it consists of far more. And what we say is that the piano is divided into octaves, where an octave is just going to be a sequence of these 12 notes that gets repeated over and over across from the low range of the piano to the high range of the piano. And so, generally, the middle of the piano we'll call octave 4, or the middle octave, and you'll see that we have a C there, a D there, an E there, and all the other notes that are present in octave 4, but that same pattern of notes repeats again in octave 5, to the right of octave 4, where all the notes sound similar, but are actually at a higher frequency. More on that later. We can actually refer to notes not just by what letter they are and what accidental they have, but also by what octave they're in. For example, we might call the C that is located in octave 4, C4, and we might call the D sharp that's located in octave 5 as D sharp 5. And so what you're looking at here is a representation of a bunch of notes on the piano and how we would represent them in terms of what note they are, what accidental they have, if any, and finally, what octave they're in. Finally, let's take a look at how we would actually represent these notes if we were to try to write them down in sheet music, a conventional way for musicians to write down notes and how long they last and what they mean. This is an example of the treble clef in sheet music, which is just part of the way that notes are represented, and each one of these lines or spaces between a line is a space for an individual note. And so right below that bottom line, if there were a note there, that would be the note D4. And after that, each time you go up one line or space between a line, you just go up by one letter. So after D4, this note, which is located on the bottom line, is E4. And the note immediately above that, located in the space between those two lines, is F4. And next is G4. And remember, after G4, we've run out of letters, and so we need to go to A4 and loop back around, and then to B4. Next would be C4, but if you remember from our picture from earlier, you'll notice that the octaves change numbers once we get to C. Notice that we have B3, but the note immediately after that is C4, because C is generally where we'll call the beginning of the next octave. So if we take a look at this sheet music again, We have D, E, F, G, A, and B, all in octave 4, but the note immediately after that is actually going to be C5, and now we're in the 5th octave. So following that is going to be D5, and following that is going to be E5. So every line and every space between a line gets its own letter and octave number in order to represent it. So this, for example, is A4, but how would we represent, for example, A-sharp 4, A-sharp in the 4th octave? Well, if you remember that we represented sharps as kind of just that pound sign, we can just draw that symbol to the left of the note, and now this note is A-sharp 4. Likewise, if we wanted to represent a note as flat, where flat just means down one semitone, we could likewise to the left of the note add the flat symbol. And now this note that we're looking at here is A-flat 4. And so using that representation, we have the capacity to represent any note using any accidentals just by drawing the notes on the correct line or space between the line that corresponds to the right note in the right octave. Now, not all notes are the same length, though. So how in sheet music would we tell apart a note that is a short note versus a note that is a longer note? Well, there are a bunch of different lengths of notes, and the notes look different depending upon their length. So on your left, we're looking at an eighth note. And an eighth note, we'll say, lasts the duration of 1/8, and generally looks like a note with a little curvy tail at the top of it. Next to that, we have a quarter note, which lasts twice as long as an eighth note for a duration of 1/4, and it looks just like an eighth note, but doesn't have that curvy tail at the top. Next to that, we have a dotted quarter note, which is a quarter note with a dot to the right of it, and that lasts 3 times as long as an eighth note, or a duration of 3/8, we might say. And finally, on the right-hand side, we have a half note, which looks like a quarter note, except the center of the note is not filled in, and it's hollow. And a half note lasts a length of 4/8 notes, or a duration of 1/2. There are more notes than just these, but these are the ones that we're going to care about for this particular problem set. And so using these different symbols for notes that determine their length and placing them in the right place, we have the ability to represent in sheet music a note, which note it is, what accidental it has, what octave it is in, and also how long the note lasts. And so, one other thing that you might find when it comes to the lengths of notes is that sometimes when 2 8th notes are next to each other, they'll be represented in sheet music as just 2 notes that have a little bar that connects the two of them. So if you ever take a look at that and are confused by what that means, generally that symbol on the left just means 2 8th notes. And that's all the background we'll need in order to be able to dive into the problems here. So with that in mind, even if music notation might seem confusing or complicated at first, I'm sure that in no time at all, you'll be a natural.